This is Radio Boston. I'm Tanya Mosley. In just 3 days, President-elect Donald Trump will take the oath of office and become the 45th president of the United States. More than 900,000 spectators are expected to converge on Washington for the event. Here's Mr. Trump last week during his first press conference after winning the election. The president-elect said he's looking forward to Inauguration Day.
We're going to have a very, very elegant day. The 20th is going to be something that will be very, very special, very beautiful. And I think we're going to have massive crowds because we have a movement. It's a movement like the world has never seen before. It's a movement that a lot of people didn't expect.
One man who did expect it, Lou Murray. He is a deep supporter of Mr. Trump and served as an elected delegate to the Republican National Convention last year. Murray and his family will also head down to Washington in a few days, and he joins us now in the studio. Lou Murray, great to have you back on Radio Boston.
Nice to be with you.
So when Radio Boston spoke to you back in November, the day after the election, you talked directly about your hopes leading up to January 20th. And one hope you had was that President-elect Trump would unite the country and reach out to all people. How do you think he's doing?
I think he's doing fantastic. You know, I think he's the words I've heard about his nominees were surprising, measured. I think when someone of the nominees, they kind of, there was a gotcha question moment, and they said, absolutely, I'm going to support the rule of law. And currently, that's the rule of law.
And you're talking about the gotcha moment during the press conference, the first press conference he had?
I'm talking about the hearings for the nominees to the cabinet. So I think his cabinet nominees have surprised some members of Congress. I think they're all going to sail through because of their qualifications and their past records of success.
So we're going to get to some of your ideas and thoughts specifically about some of those cabinet members, but I'd love to talk with you a bit about going down to Washington, D.C. You're expected to go down there with your family, a large contingent of your family.
Yes.
And you're bringing your nieces and nephews.
Yep.
Why is it important in your view to attend?
Well, I'm the fun uncle.
You're the fun uncle.
Yes. And my nieces and nephews, 10 of them, have all been just following this election so closely from the first time they saw me in the newspaper, writing about Donald Trump. And this is one of those moments in the nation's history. Every 4 years, I call it a civic sacrament. It's a holy and august moment where we hand over the transition of power from one elected leader to another. And my youngest nieces that are coming said, this is like the best field trip ever. And I hope it will be. I was very lucky to get the tickets that I collected, some from Congressman Lynch and some from Congressman Capuano and a couple from Senator Warren and a few from Congressman Kennedy. And I cobbled them all together, and we'll have our little group of 15 between my brothers and sisters and my brother-in-law and sister-in-law. So it's exciting.
15 Murrays. So I want to ask you a bit about the protests. NPR estimates that there could be close to 1,200 busloads of protesters that will arrive for the Women's March on Saturday. And you'll be one of almost 900,000 spectators, as we said, expected at the inauguration. What do you think about all of those protests?
Well, you know, I was thinking about it, and after speaking with your producer earlier today, and I said, you know what? This is holy and august as well. This is about America, where we can bring 1,200 busloads of protesters, and they can make their voice heard. And at the same time, we can have 900,000 Trump maniacs happy to build a wall, and they can occupy the same street and be kind to one another. And, you know, I saw that in Cleveland. There were a lot of protesters in Cleveland at the Republican National Convention, and they were lovely people, and they had made their voice heard, and I didn't agree with some of their signs, but for the most part, it was just so civil and kind, and like made me proud to be an American. So I'm looking forward to seeing some protesters and meeting them and hearing what they have to say, and I hope that they will feel just as happy about what's happening on the other side of the street. And isn't it great that we can do all this without violence?
So you expect for it to be civil. There are no concerns about your safety.
I told my nieces and nephews to just, we're just going to have a grand time and have a lot of fun. And I have no concerns about safety. I saw the first responders in this country are just the most amazing people in the world. They are, and they're just going to do just a fabulous job, just the way they did in Cleveland. And I think there's, and I can't imagine someone who cares enough about the country that voted for Hillary Clinton and believed in them with the same kind of heart that I believed in Donald Trump, that they would want to do something to hurt the families that are going there and the old people and the veterans that are going there to cheer on Trump. And there's just as many families and good people and veterans on the other side of the street that didn't vote for Trump. So we're a big American family. We're just going to disagree from two sides of the street.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the members of Congress who are skipping the inauguration. The Washington Post is reporting as of this afternoon, 50 Democratic members have said they will skip, and one of them is Representative Catherine Clark of Massachusetts. What's your reaction to her decision?
Can I have your tickets?
That's your reaction.
I want the seats. I'm only kidding. My reaction is I'm saddened. It's like you were invited to a wedding, you were invited to a first communion, you said you were going to go and you're not going. But you know what? That's her right. And we live in a country where an elected lawmaker thinks that it's her, in her way, that's her voice, that she's going to say, I disagree with President Trump so strongly, I'm not going to be there. But, you know, I think one thing I've said about Trump from my very first op-ed in the Boston Globe, that he speaks over the elite. He speaks over the media. He speaks directly to the people. And he's going to speak over Catherine Clark. And he's going to talk to the people about the things that are important to them, like jobs, healthcare, reining in these insane prices from these drug companies, and trying to make our American system of healthcare better. And I would rather myself that she was there and had a voice at the table. But if she wants to stay away from the table and go out into the living room and not stay in the dining room, that's okay.
Let's go to the cabinet picks. We talked about that briefly at the beginning. Congress has been holding hearings for a number of Trump's cabinet picks. Today, Betsy DeVos for education. Later this week, we'll hear from Rick Perry for the Energy Department. Are you happy with Trump's picks? And are there any names that you'd like to see nominated?
You know, I'm absolutely delighted. Of course, you know, I'm from Massachusetts, and I would have liked to have seen someone from Massachusetts as part of the cabinet, but Senator Scott Brown didn't make the cut, and for the VA secretary. By and large, every single person that he has nominated is someone with a track record of success. And, you know, I think he took a page from a great Democrat, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, when Roosevelt chose Joe Kennedy to run Wall Street or the federal overregulation of Wall Street after Kennedy had been a Wall Street player. And Donald Trump has chosen Governor Rick Perry to run the
Secretary
for the Energy Department.
Yes.
Sorry.
It's okay.
And, you know, I think he's going to do a great job. And, you know, Perry is a guy that said, gee, I wouldn't mind getting rid of that department. But, you know, there are about 1.1 million active oil wells in Texas. There are 30% of the country's crude comes out of Texas. There are 3,100 barrels of oil pumped a day out of Texas. Rick Perry understands.
Right, to say this. That you feel that that's a good choice.
Yes.
To say the least, from your point of view.
From my point of view.
I'd love to ask you, though, about Andrew Putzer, I'm sorry if I'm saying his name correctly, but he's Trump's choice for Secretary of Labor, and he's been sharply criticized for raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour. I'd love your thoughts on that.
You know, I think that, like all of Trump's picks, there's going to be some surprising things that that the left gets excited about, and there are going to be some surprising things that the conservatives and the right gets excited about. And that's why it's so unique to have a populist president.
Trump has been very vocal on Twitter about his views on issues and people. We know that the latest was involving Congressman Lewis out of Georgia, in response to some of the things that Lewis had said about this not Trump not being a legitimate president. I'd love to know your reaction to that and the reaction to the fallout to that. Trump is still talking about it on Twitter just as of a few hours ago.
Right. I didn't see his latest tweets. I was busy with a client who's trying to open a new business. And but, you know, John Lewis, wow, what a hero. You know, he's a man that, you know, stood where very few other people would stand for changes in voting rights in this country, and stood with Martin Luther King. And I think Trump reacted to his disappointment that, you know, Representative Lewis wasn't going to join him. I think you saw Martin Luther King's son meet with Donald Trump the following day.
Yesterday, yes,
and pray with Donald Trump and talk about some suggestions that he had for carrying out his father's legacy. I think with regard to the dust-up with John Lewis, I don't remember, but I've read that when Eisenhower ran for, you know, president of the United States, that you know, people were allowed to criticize him, even though he had the past history of being the supreme commander of America's victory in World War II. And I think it's okay that if Donald Trump is, you know, criticizes someone, it doesn't necessarily invoke that person's entire history if he's criticizing them.
I have my last question for you. Since we asked you the first time we spoke to you what your hopes were leading up to January 20th, I'd love to know what are the three key issues on which you'd like to see President Trump take action on post-inauguration, the three things that you want him to immediately start
jobs,
on.
Jobs, jobs. You know, I think that if you look at each one of the picks that he's had for his cabinet, they are people that are going to take measured responses to drawing down the amount of regulations that are strangling American business, big and small, and let people have better jobs and get more people back into the job market.
Jobs, jobs, jobs. So those are the three that
absolutely. And I think those are three things that every Democratic congressman, every Republican congressman, and Bernie Sanders can get together on.
Lou Murray, a Trump supporter who will head down to Washington with his entire family for the inauguration. Thank you, Lou, for joining us.
Thank you, Tanya.